I'm your host, Ed Porter. Welcome back to Transmission. Poland has cut coal's share of power generation almost in half in a decade. Renewables now make up a third of the country's supply. But coal plants can't switch off quickly. So when the sun and wind flood the grid, Poland can't use all of it, and prices go negative. The result is a grid still catching up, but Poland is moving fast. My guest today is Thomas Seck, founder and COO of R Power, responsible for a 1.7 gigawatt, 6.3 gigawatt hour storage portfolio, one of Poland's largest. We get into the capacity market, the power dynamics, and just how quickly Poland's grid is changing. Modo Energy's Polish forecast tracks battery revenues on a project-by-project basis through to 2060, and Modo Energy's users can also track current revenues using our Polish virtual assets. Sign up is free and takes seconds. Let's jump in. Thomas, welcome to Transmission.
Pleasure to be here.
And as ever, let's get straight into it. So what's one thing that people consistently get wrong about the Polish power market?
Well, I think the people don't understand how renewables became important in Polish power market. Historically, Poland has been 95% coal energy generation. That has changed over the last 5 to 10 years quite significantly. Now, coal represents only 55%, roughly 50-55% of the energy generation, and renewables are last year actually generated more than 30%. So Poland very, very quickly is transitioning itself to an energy system that is renewables dominated. Mm-hmm. And that's a massive change. And that's a massive investment that has been happening over the last roughly 10 years.
Mm-hmm. And actually quite interesting, you were saying before, like there's a little bit of like perception inside Poland, there's perception from outside Poland. That outside Poland, people might think, oh, it's still coal dominated. Yeah. And it still is coal dominated, but much less so. And within Poland, do you think there's a much better understanding that the system is changing?
It is because we had two waves of the investing into renewables in Poland over the last 10 years. One is a utility scale, which is happening a little bit behind the scenes. So people do not necessarily see that and understand that, which is understandable. But the other one was a prosumer investment, which is essentially small installation on your rooftops. And that really has taken Poland by really, really became popular. I think it's roughly 1 million of the rooftops that have the PV installation. So definitely people understand that the renewables are there and they're helping the system. A lot of people are enthusiastic about it and they're using that. They're having on their iPhones, on their smartphones, apps, and just basically checking how much energy has been generated by their installations. So people do understand in Poland. I think outside of Poland, there's this still, even in the business circles, still this notion that Poland is heavily dominated by the fossil fuels. And that's, in a way, is true because Poland is the most fossil fuels dominated, one of the most fossil fuel dominated economies in Europe. However, there's been a lot of progress made, and that basically shows that the transition, the green transition, can happen in a country that has been starting from the very, very scratch and can be going very fast, much faster than anyone predicted. So I think that just thinking about the future, the numbers are going to keep growing, and it just makes a lot of sense.
Indeed. And as someone developing batteries, right, the sort of coal dominance, or not to the 95%, but to the 55% that you were talking about, is that a good thing for you, or is that a sort of bad part of the market?
Well, so let's differentiate between batteries and the renewables. So for the renewables, it's very tricky because coal-dominated energy system is not very flexible, it's not very elastic. So that basically is the biggest challenge for the energy system because coal generation is not very flexible generation. But at the same time, that creates a big opportunity for the batteries because it creates swings in the prices, making the batteries quite attractive from financial side, and also just very, very supportive of the stabilization of the energy system. So the battery opportunity in Poland is massive and is going to be very helpful to support further transition, energy transition into the renewable dominated system.
Yeah, and I think from a sort of that non-flexibility, right? So we have I think for 2026, I think it's Spain that's sort of showing the sort of most negative prices so far this year. But we're also seeing regions like France and Poland having quite good or quite high numbers of negative prices coming through. Yeah. And that's because their fleets are quite inflexible. So the French nuclear division, not as flexible as, say, gas. And then it's also the Polish
that's
coal.
That's exactly the reason. Yeah. That's exactly the reason. You need to keep, basically, you cannot switch off all the coal plants when you have a lot of sun or you have a lot of wind. Mm. So basically, you curtail, you have too much energy. When you have too much energy, then you can have really a negative prices, which is a very peculiar phenomenon, because in most of the industries, it's impossible to have negative price for the good that you're delivering or for the service that you're delivering. In energy system, you can actually have. If you have too much energy, then suddenly the prices can be negative, which incentivize you to switch off from the grid and stop producing for a certain period of time. Typically a very short one, but a certain period of time.
And I suppose as a battery developer, you'd kind of be seeing that opportunity. Where battery developers get competition from in other areas would be things like gas units coming through, gas recips. Do you see gas coming into Poland, or do you think it will kind of leapfrog gas and go sort of straight from coal into renewables and batteries?
No, there's going to be a gas. And there are two technologies to simplify, there are two types of installations in gas technologies. The installations that typically produce a lot of energy throughout the year, and these installations are called combined cycle gas turbines. And these installations are important when you transition from the coal into the renewables, but you still don't have enough renewables and supported by the batteries, because they can actually deliver quite a lot of energy in a quite stable way at a relatively efficient cost. The other type of installations are open cycle gas turbines, which are basically gas peakers. So these ones are supposed to only work when there is no wind and no sun. So from that perspective, the gas has important role in energy system in Poland, including. There is quite a lot of investments happening right now, especially in this first category. And the second category, which is these peakers, also will become important, and it will become important in the renewable dominated energy system, because renewables will be able to deliver roughly 80% of the energy. And the 20%, remaining 20%, I'm simplifying obviously the numbers, the remaining 20% will have to be delivered from other sources, and gas peakers will be important for that.
Okay. And moving on from sort of the mix of generation, let's go into the players within the market. So Poland is sort of unusually vertically integrated in comparison to the rest of Europe. You have a sort of dominant TSO, and then you have state generators. Does that change your sort of view of the market? Because obviously you're active in sort of other regions, your Germany's, your Italy's, your Spain's, but Poland is a little bit different.
No, that it doesn't really, because transmission and distribution is separated from the generation and separated from the retail. So a lot of these players are the same capital groups, they are behaving a little bit like a separate entities even within the same capital groups. So from that perspective, it does not. Okay. I mean, it is behaving very similar to other markets. I don't see that as a big of an issue from the renewables and the storage perspective, at least.
Okay, maybe this is a bit of a tradie type question, but perhaps a little bit behind the scenes at Modo. So we've been obviously working a lot on our Polish forecast recently, which is now out. And one of the questions we were really asking ourselves, which is like, where does the volume go in terms of trading? Does it go into the day-ahead market? Does it go into the intraday market? And what we were kind of seeing was the sort of relatively low intraday market today in Poland.
Yeah.
But we're sort of thinking, well, will that grow and be more similar to other regions? Do you sort of have a view on that?
So obviously, as you have more storage, I think intraday market, there's going to be opportunity to use intraday market. There's going to be more flexibility in the system. So obviously, day-ahead market is a better type of the market for the regulator and for the grid operators to manage the energy system and balance the energy system. But as you have more flexibility in the system brought by the batteries, I think there might be an opportunity for that. But really, from our perspective, we are not a trader. Obviously, we are an infra player which builds, among other things, batteries. So the more opportunity an intraday for using the batteries, the more attractive it's going to be this opportunity.
And maybe sort of like a follow-up question on this. As someone who owns the assets and you're looking for third parties to optimize those assets, like who's the best third party to go to? Are you best to go to sort of the legacy player who's been optimizing assets in Poland for, you know, for decades? Or are you best to go to a small, nimble startup that's looking at batteries?
That's a great question. I would love to know the answer. I think that the response is basically diversify. So you don't put all the eggs in the same basket. You go to a different guys. From our perspective, obviously, it's always important to have a reputable and a large player. Because we built large assets. So, you know, our typical battery is between 200 and 300 megawatts, so 1,000 megawatt hours. So we cannot go to a very, very small player unless this particular player is partnered with a large utility or a large trader. The small nimble seem to be a little bit better prepared and moving a little bit faster in terms of the putting infrastructure in place, the IT infrastructure in place, and just getting ready with the certification. The larger players are lagging a little bit behind, but what they have massive financial power, which basically means that they can guarantee, provide the security for us with those assets. Okay. And we typically sign with those types of companies very long-term contracts, and we need the security just to make sure that, you know, that we are safe.
That's useful then if you want to say bring debt into projects and get
which high. We always do.
There you go.
That's typical. A lot of companies in our industry always bring debt. It's infrastructure, so the capital expenditure is massive. You spend a lot of money. Energy transition costs billions and billions of euros in any market, and in a market like Poland with almost 40 million people, that's been heavily dominated by coal. The spending level is just insanely big, so obviously debt is a very important factor in making these things happen.
So you mentioned that one of your assets was a 4-hour system.
Yes.
So getting towards almost a gigawatt hour, or exactly a gigawatt hour.
Yes.
And is that, I think that's driven a little bit by the capacity market that's been in Poland.
Absolutely.
So what's the story of the capacity market in Poland so far, and how's it changing?
So capacity market, just let me start with explaining a little bit of the capacity market. Capacity market is the service that is being procured by the grid operator, transmission operator, in order to have a flexibility in energy system. And it's a great tool to allow owners of the assets to have some of the revenues secured. Because inherently, batteries are a very unstable from the revenue perspective type of installations. Because what you do the arbitrage. So basically you buy energy at low prices, you sell the energy at high prices. So in order to provide a little bit of financial security for the asset owners, and also incentivize building those assets, what the transmission operators do throughout Europe, they introduce the capacity market, which is providing a typically fixed fee or some types of guaranteed fee for building and having these assets, these batteries ready in energy system. And that's a very important, tool to incentivize building those assets. We are fortunate to have the largest portfolio that secured the capacity market in Poland, almost 1.7 gigawatts, 6.3 gigawatt hours, which we started deploying last year, and we'll be building for the next 3 years, so 3.5 years. So it's a super important element, and it incentivizes a lot of investors to present the projects to the market and to start deploying capital to these projects.
And it's changing quite quickly, right?
It is. Because
the early rounds of the capacity market were quite good in terms of they were quite generous in terms of the de-rating. So those projects have got a good chunk of capacity market revenue.
Yeah.
Now it seems like the de-rating is coming down, and it's perhaps getting closer to where other capacity market deratings are across Europe.
So derating meaning basically that how much of the fee or how much of the support these assets get. Yes. So basically, if you look at the last 3 or 4 years, those assets, the support level has been falling quite significantly. Mm-hmm. But that's fine because CapEx has been falling quite significantly. So that was the one driver behind that. The other driver was that capacity market in Poland was technology agnostic, meaning that we had all types of the technologies participating and competing in this in competitive process, competitive auction. And the batteries, because of the fall of the capex, so how much it costs to build them, became so competitive that they pushed away from this process, or basically priced out of this process, gas peakers and gas installations, about which I was mentioning earlier. And that's also fundamentally not a healthy thing for the energy system, because you need both. So what the grid operator was trying to do was trying to kind of make both of the technologies be close in terms of competition, and succeeded that, because quite a lot of the gas installation also managed to enter into the capacity market. But still, batteries, because of the fall of all the improvements in the capex, managed to compete even at this lower derating factor, okay. Lower support levels. So
we could still see more rounds of batteries coming through in future capacity markets.
Yes, and I think the idea is to transform the capacity market so that it reflects that the batteries and the gas installations are fundamentally both required and a little bit different, and play a little bit different role in the energy system. And that hasn't been in the original design of the capacity market, has not been the case.
Yeah.
And now, as far as I understand, there are works on the system that would take this into account, hopefully allowing both of the installations to compete in parallel for the most optimal projects, for the most efficient projects, not compete against each other, because having too much of any of those things or squeezing one at the expense of another is not correct for the and appropriate for the energy system. Yeah.
So if you need 10 days of continuous generation in the middle of winter, good idea to have gas. If you need flexibility in the middle of a summer day, it's a pretty bad idea to use gas for that. You should probably be using some batteries.
That's exactly the case. Okay. If you have a lot of renewable energy, you should store it and push it to the evening, or you should push it to the next day.
Yeah.
If you have so-called Dunkelflaute, which is basically no sun, no wind for a few days, typically in November, December, or January, then yes, then you need those gas peakers to switch on and produce the energy.
Okay, let's move on then from the capacity market, and let's go to the route to market. So as you said, you're an asset owner, so you rely on these kind of route to market contracts to get projects built. You've recently announced a deal with Axpo, looking at a floor plus a profit share.
Yeah.
As people who listen to this podcast regularly will know, there's lots of flavors of these agreements.
Yeah.
And sort of the most sort of contracted is probably a full toll or a complete toll, where you lock in a very fixed revenue for your assets. Why did you go for a floor plus profit share rather than a toll?
Well, so you try to build a portfolio of the assets. I've mentioned that we have quite a few assets that we are planning to deploy, and we're doing both. So we're doing the full tolling and we're doing the floor with the revenue share. However, even those with the floor and revenue share, the floors are quite high in a way that they provide a lot of security to the financial security to the assets. So I know that in UK you could have a very low floor and a high revenue sharing. That's not what we are doing with our floor / revenue sharing assets.
So they're still high floor,
high floors. So we do the mix of those. And the reason we're doing mix of those, because obviously you there is an upside. Well, the risk and upside to having revenue share, and especially those assets that are early in the market, when the market is not saturated, in theory, should benefit from this upside. So that's why our first agreements are floor revenue share, but our subsequent agreements are going to be full toll. So there's going to be a mix of those.
And you look at Poland as a market, it's the sort of inflexibility of the coal, the spreads are very good.
Yes.
You've got this sort of domestic enthusiasm for solar on rooftops, you said a million earlier.
Yeah.
And it, like, all of those things add up to generally a market that might have quite large spreads, quite a lot of need for flexibility. Yeah. And so from where I'm sitting, unless that toll is a really good offer, like I kind of want the profit share. I want the upside.
Exactly. But at the same time, if you are an infrastructure player, you want to balance your overall risk. So I know I'm leaving some of the value on the table because of that. But at the same time, I'm managing the risk profile of the entire portfolio. So there is a fine balance that you need to strike. And depending on your appetite for the risk, you can basically go more to the rev share. But in our case, we prefer a little bit more a little bit less aggressive structures.
I hear you. Okay, let's we've talked a lot about batteries so far.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about solar as well. You've recently signed some big deals.
Yeah.
So 15-year solar deals with groups like Amazon, for example, or Cisco. But we, across Europe more broadly, I don't think we're seeing that many of these sort of single technology deals being signed because people are starting to see negative prices coming through and the off-takers are getting concerned about those negative prices and whether it's sort of good value. So do you think that sort of vanilla solar PPA will carry on getting signed or do you think that it's kind of that's where the batteries are starting to come in and you're going to start to see sort of multi-technology PPAs?
Yeah, I think they're going to morph into the, or transform into the hybrid PPAs more and more. And we're already seeing that, actually. We're seeing more and more discussions, or we're having more and more discussions on the modified profile type of power purchase agreements, which is essentially a bilateral agreement with a large corporation that wants to buy energy for many, many years, and historically it was just one technology.
Which would be the solar, for example.
For example, solar. Now it's two technologies combined, so basically a solar combined with the battery storage, which makes the profile of the energy that we are delivering to this corporates much more attractive for them and also much more flexible for them. So peak shifting, I mean, I'm getting into the more technical stuff, but basically peak shifting, which is basically putting some power from the middle of a day into the battery and then discharging this power in the evening. That's the type of the deals that we are starting to see interest. They are more complicated, so I have to be honest that these discussions are only beginning to happen. Yeah. And transition from the plain vanilla into the hybrid PPAs will take a little bit of time, but definitely that's the road that we're going to go.
But it makes sense, right? If you're a hyperscaler and you're getting very cheap solar in the middle of the day, but then you're getting hit with like a high fee at the end of the day because you're having to rely on thermal units, like, okay, well, that's the problem you need to solve. So you kind of need both techs, right?
That's I think the exact logic that they're going to be driving this.
Okay, and I'm going to quote you now.
Yeah.
1.7 gigawatts, 6.3 gigawatt hours of BESS coming live in Poland.
With capacity market. We have more, but that's what we have with the capacity market.
With capacity market, okay. And what is the... What's the thing that stops you getting all of that online tomorrow? Is it sort of regulation? Is it availability of grid connections? Why is it slow? Or is there something slowing you down?
We think we're running.
Okay.
The reality is, it's a lot of the investments. It's a lot of construction. So obviously, the procurement takes time. So basically, you need to have trafo station built. You need to order cables. You need to order the storage systems. So that's one thing. The other thing, which is probably the most frequent answer that you would hear during this type of conversations, is the connection. Availability. Okay. So typically throughout the Europe, Poland is not exception. If anything, it's more acute. You have a grid that is congested and the grid operators need to do their own investments in grid reinforcements in order to be able to connect and bring online different generation and storage sources. So obviously, whenever we get the grid conditions, we get a certain date by which these grid conditions will enable us to connect the asset. But in our case, in case of those particular assets that we've mentioned, we have quite immediate via standards and infrastructure, energy sector and conditions. It's just simply the construction process and the financing process takes a little bit of time. I think we were doing it very fast. I mean, having this much of the capacity built within the next 18 to 24 months, that's quite
really,
rapid.
That's really good.
That's really good, yeah.
So people listening who aren't in energy, that sounds like it's really slow. But for people who are seeing the grid queues in other countries, 18 to 24 months.
It's almost
good.
insanely fast. We almost are in a kind of the war room type of mode, basically, for those particular assets, because we see this opportunity as a very, very beneficial for energy system and obviously for us financially.
Yeah.
And that's why we decided to put all hands on deck and basically just focus on those particular assets in other markets as well. So we have a few assets in other markets, but in Poland in particular, they are especially needed. And that's why the approach is more of a kind of war room, just all hands on deck and try to bring those online as soon as possible.
Okay. I think the only market that's maybe quicker is Texas. That might be the only
one. Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. In the US. Yeah. But, I mean, I would imagine China would be even.
It would be faster.
But yeah, for Europe, that's pretty fast.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Let's then go back to the big picture on Poland. So if you could just change one thing about how the Polish system is designed or regulated, let's say you're in charge tomorrow, what would it be?
Oh my God, that's a very loaded question. I think there is no one single answer to that, because I would love this to be, because then you can basically try to convince and try to propagate that particular idea. There's so plenty of other things. I think the one thing that I would love to see is basically faster regulatory process, quicker from agreeing that something makes sense on the legislative side, mm-hmm. to bringing it to actual fruition in a way of a new acts or new laws happening. So that takes a lot of time, even though there is a common understanding and there is agreement that certain things need to happen. For example, the auctioning system in Poland needs certain corrections. There's been an understanding about that and agreement about that for the past 2.5 or 3 years. This still hasn't happened. So basically, I would love to see that this process is happening much, much, much faster.
Okay, and then that auctioning process. What is that auctioning? Sorry, there.
So this is the renewable auctions when you have renewable assets like wind, onshore wind, and photovoltaics participating in auctions and securing the price. Mm-hmm. And there are some technicalities which make this a little bit inefficient right now, and not working properly as it was intended. So these are technical solutions that make a lot of pain for us, but really are not important from the kind of grand scheme of things. But we would love to see those solved much faster.
And consumers don't care, right? They don't care about the technical part of it. They just want to get it done.
Yeah,
move on, get it in place as quickly as possible. Okay, then a final question. So what is a view that you hold about the Polish power market that most people in industry wouldn't agree with?
Well, I don't know about, depending how you count most people in the industry, because in particular in Poland, you have two groups of people. You have the people that are fossil fuel-based energy generation, and there are renewable generation people. So I think a lot of the renewable generation people would tend to agree with me. I think the fossil fuel people that might find that statement or claim controversial, but I think that Poland became very quickly renewable dominated energy system with 70 or even more percent of the energy produced with from the renewables, as long as it's supported by the large deployment of the batteries. And the controversial part is it's going to be much, much cheaper than any fossil fuel or any other technology in order to produce the energy. So I think Poland can be competitive from the energy cost production, despite that it's a relatively northern country, but we can be very, very, very competitive. We can have a cheap energy based on the renewables supported by the large batteries. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people don't believe in that, hasn't done the modeling required to do that, claim that there are some hidden costs that are associated only with renewables and they're not associated with the fossil fuels.
So this might be the sort of million or billion dollar question or the secret sauce. So how does Poland keep its transition cheap? Like, do you have a feeling of like what makes Poland a great place to put those renewable assets, those battery assets, and do it in a cheap way?
So we can do it cheaper. We're doing it cost efficient, and I don't want to use the word cheap because it's a loaded word. But yes. We are doing it cost efficient now. We can do it even more cost efficient if the cost and time required for preparing the projects, what we call developing the projects, doing all the permitting would be shorter, and it would be easier to do that. Okay. Now it's super complicated, takes a lot of time, years. In case of the onshore wind projects, it takes 7 years even to develop the projects. In some other markets, it takes a fraction of that. And obviously that creates a lot of risk, systemic risks in the system. Mm. And simply costs a lot of money. So that needs to be built into the cost of energy later on, because no one will do it for free. So that would be a one thing that would help Poland even further. But other than that, there is a lot of companies, a lot of developers developing the projects. Poles are very entrepreneurial. this mm-hmm. sector is super entrepreneurial as well, and a lot of good quality projects are being prepared. So I think from that perspective, just there's no void. People seeing the opportunity, they're understanding the need, they're seeing the need, and they're acting on that.
Yeah, Thomas, I love it. It's a great contrarian view. I think it will be well received by our listeners. And just to say
hopefully,
just say thank you very much for coming on. You've been a wonderful guest.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.